Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be together to worship the Lord in the presence of God through His Holy Spirit. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are good. We give you praise that we are able to gather this morning in the name of Jesus Christ to worship you, to sing your praise, to offer our thanksgiving to you for your goodness to us, to lift up the concerns of our hearts to you in prayer, O God, and to search your word, to sit ourselves at your feet and listen to you, O Lord God. We do ask that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you would transform us in this time more and more into the image of Jesus. Flame our love and passion for Jesus. May it grow as we look to your word and as we submit ourselves to your Holy Spirit at work within us, O God. In all this, we ask that you would be glorified, for you alone are worthy of all praise. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Acts as we continue on in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. If you were here last week or had a chance to listen to the message, you'll see that we took a look at the first Christian sermon. It was the day of Pentecost, where Jesus had told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them before they were to do anything. And so they were gathered together in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it was there was a physical manifestation that you could see. It says it was as tongues of fire settled upon them. We don't know exactly what that looked like. Many of our paintings or children's Bibles kind of show these tongues of fire, or like flames above the head of the individuals. Maybe could be, but somehow there was a way to physically see the Holy Spirit, and this is very, very unusual. We also then have another unusual event occur at that time, where it says that the prophecy from the book of Joel in the Old Testament was fulfilled, because with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all the believers, all those who had gathered together, who trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation, that they went out into the streets and they started speaking in all these different languages. Now, it was in God's providence, he had gathered from all different sections of the territories, different people groups, because it was the festival of weeks with the harvest. They were celebrating the harvest, one of the first fruit harvests. And they were gathered together in Jerusalem as God had commanded them. So you have all these different people coming from all these different countries, all worshiping Yahweh, but with different languages. They would know Hebrew probably. They would also at that time know Greek. That was sort of the common language. But they also had their own languages. And they heard the disciples speaking in their own languages. The disciples didn't know those languages. And so it was amazing for everyone, and they're stunned. And the people say, what is going on? And it's to this now, this crowd that is in awe of what's going on, that Peter spoke the sermon that we looked at last week, where he talked about the fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel chapter 2, that people would prophesy and the Holy Spirit would come upon people. And then he went and he laid out the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, and the glorification of Jesus. He explained who Jesus was and what he had done for us. And our response to him was to call for his murder and cheer as he was murdered, as he was offered as a sacrifice in our place. This morning now, we are going to look at the response of the crowd. We're going to see how the crowd responds to hearing the word of God proclaimed to them. So this morning we'll look at chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. Excuse me, I apologize. Hopefully we get that out of my system right there. This morning, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. Now when they, the crowd, heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is God's word. We see a group of people, a crowd now, hearing and following God's word as they hear it explained to them. Let's recall the words at the end that had of the sermon that Peter had spoken. We look at verse 33. "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out that which you yourselves are seeing and hearing." Verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." The realization that they had taken part in crucifying the Son of God, the Messiah, so upset them, so shook them at the core of their being. And that is only by the grace of God that they understand the severity of what they had done with respect to the person of Jesus Christ. They now understood that it was God's Son whom they called for his crucifixion. Again, as we talked about last week, we must also always remember who killed Jesus. We all did. We are responsible for the death of Jesus. Because why did he go to the cross? Was it because Pontius Pilate was all powerful? Was it because the crowd that was crying for his crucifixion was all powerful? No. He went because he loves us. He went to the cross because he wanted to pay for our debt, for our sin that we have committed against God. Jesus loves you so that he went in our place, taking on our punishment upon himself. So it's our sin that sent Jesus to the cross, but not forcing him. No, he went willingly out of his love for each and every one of us. Hearing these words, then, they are, according to verse 37, cut to the heart. They are completely wrecked. And not just because they realize they've done a bad thing, but it's to whom this bad thing was done. They are realizing now that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world. We didn't just learn this. This isn't news to us if we have listened at all to God's word. We have the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And we may not have physically been present when he called for, his crucifixion was called for. But now in our day, is there not an apathy that resides in the hearts of so many of us who claim to be his followers? That we look at Jesus as maybe some life insurance policy that is just to get us out of hell free card, in a sense. That we acknowledge with our tongues that Jesus is God, but with our lives, you'd have no evidence that we are transformed by that reality. Here we have people who heard that Jesus is the Son of God and died on their behalf, and they are cut to the heart. How then do we respond? How then do we react to knowing that or hearing again the words of truth that Jesus is the Son of God? Is it just ho-hum to us? They ask then what they should do. They're so earnest that they know they must have some response to the word of God. And so Peter in verse 38 says, here's what they are to do. They are to repent and be baptized, every one of them. And he goes on to describe what this is like. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of the sins of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this is promised for you and for your children who are far off, everyone whom the Lord has called. Repent and be baptized. Repent means to change. To change our direction, that we're heading in one direction with our life. We're making choices in one way. We're allowing certain things within our hearts to drive our decisions, our actions, our thoughts, our words, our hopes, our dreams. And he's saying that all those things are sinful that are drawing us. They are self-focused. They are rejecting of who God is, of who Jesus is. And so we must turn from a life that seeks to exalt ourselves, and the word repent, turn towards God and choose this day to follow God in his words and in his ways. What he says, we shall do. We prioritize Jesus as first. Repentance also includes belief. We cannot repent of our sins unless we believe, because we have to turn away from something which necessitates turning to something and choosing then to believe the words of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that the word of God is true and complete in all the scriptures. They're even called then, and later on, as we'll see, Lord willing, next week, they're called believers. This is what name is given to them. The repentance leads them to believe. And as you know, belief in the scripture isn't just an intellectual assent. It's not just believing like a mathematical formula. It implies faith, trust, hope, resting in. To believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah is to say, I am putting all of my hope in him for my salvation, not in myself, not in my own abilities, but in Jesus. I am also putting all of my dreams and my desires and my will into Jesus and what he says, that he will be my Lord. What he says, I will do, I will follow. Repent and be baptized. What is baptized? Well, that's a public sign of what's going on inside of our hearts. There's no blood test that we can take that will tell us if we are, wow, there's some lights, ooh. Cool. I can't see anybody now. Where does everybody go? God. To be baptized, it's the outward sign. Like I said, we can't see. We can't take a blood test to prove we're Christians. We can't see if we were to have, you know, an ultrasound of our... I almost said, like, take our hearts out, but that sounded gross. If we had, like, an ultrasound of our hearts, you know, you can't see the Holy Spirit sitting in there like you can in the ultrasound of a baby in a womb or anything like that, right? Baptism is an outward sign of saying, of declaring to the world, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I do believe in him. I do trust him. I am turning away from my sinful life and turning towards Jesus. So it's another sign of belief, of faith in Jesus Christ. Repent, be baptized, every one of you. Now, previously to this call here, baptism had been reserved, except for John the Baptist, who rattled things and shook things up, was reserved for Gentiles, for non-Jewish folks who wanted to convert to Judaism, to worshiping Yahweh, that they would then be baptized. It would be offensive for a Jew to say, for someone to say to a Jewish person, you must be baptized. You're talking about, I'm already a follower. But now they're being called to baptize because we're changing our allegiance and we're placing it on Jesus. Everyone, not just the heads of households, every individual. So therefore, it's not just, well, my family goes to church, therefore I'm a Christian. Or I remember when I was younger, I used to think, well, I'm not Jewish and I'm not Catholic, and I didn't really know what Protestant or anything was. I said, so I guess I'm Christian. I didn't know any other option. I just assumed, kind of cross off everything else, I must be Christian. I didn't know that it's not just something you inherit through your family. That you turn to Jesus in faith, and it is by God's grace then, his free, unmerited gift, that we are saved. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. This means, there was a professor at Princeton Seminary back in the 1800s, named J.A. Alexander. And he said, to be baptized in the name of Jesus means that you are being baptized by his authority. That you're acknowledging his claims to be the Son of God, his claims over my entire life. That I'm subscribing to his doctrines, that I'm engaging in his service, and I'm relying on his merits, on his work for my eternal life. Not on my own goodness, my own good behavior for eternal life. This baptism is for, this is all from verse 38, for the forgiveness of sins. Sin is the issue that condemns us. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is choosing anything other than God, including an apathetic choice towards God. And you will receive, and then it has two purposes. For the forgiveness of sins. And the second thing is for the promise of the Holy Spirit. This goes in now to verse 39, where we see God's promise for everything, and it's for everyone, and it's twofold. His promise then is forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. So we see here the Holy Spirit. Remember, we've talked about in the book of Acts, we've got to wrestle with the question, what is universal and what is special, because God is doing a new work here for the first time in the book of Acts. So we've got to ask, what do we expect is normal for all Christians throughout all time? And what then is something unique is happening in the book of Acts at this moment in history, in God's redemptive history? There's a special time that's going on here in the book of Acts. One thing we see, right, is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. This is a groundbreaking thing that has happened here. The Holy Spirit poured out upon all the followers and believers of Jesus Christ. They go out and they start speaking in different languages. In this case, it's intelligible languages. People can hear and understand the various languages, okay? Peter describes that as the promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And now we see in verse 38 and 39 that promise of God to pour out the Holy Spirit is for everyone. The Holy Spirit is not reserved just for the apostles here. Doesn't say anything here about speaking in tongues, so that we have to analyze separately. That will come up again and again throughout the book of Acts, and we'll take a look at that, particularly three different occasions where we see people speaking in tongues. And we'll take a look at what is, the first one being the day of Pentecost here, but we'll look at those three together and try to analyze them and see what's going on in those three particular instances. But the Holy Spirit is for all believers, and so is forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sins are forgiven, and God sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in the believer. And we are called then, in our repentance, in our faith, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, this is the day that the church is formed. I suggest God is doing a new work here as He is creating the church, that there's something special that's happening on this day. I suggest that it was started when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, but it didn't end there that day. They go out. That's what believers in Jesus Christ do. We go out and we tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. We tell them what Jesus has done in our lives. We share that with other people because it's good news. It's wonderful who Jesus is and what He has done in our lives. And as they have gone out now, and Peter primarily has shared the good news in this sermon here, we see in verses 40 and 41 this foundation of the church. It says, with many other words, Peter bore witness. That's what he's doing. He's bearing witness. He's saying, I know Jesus. I've walked with Jesus. Here's what Jesus means to me. Here's what Jesus has done in my life. Here's what Jesus' life has entailed. He was a first person witness. We are witnesses through them, also through the disciples in the Word of God, to witness to who Jesus is. Continue to exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized. They received the word. They listened to it. They responded to it. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls were added that day by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. And He died on the cross because of our sins. What then shall we do, brothers and sisters? We repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, which means we believe by faith. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we turn our lives over to Him and say, Jesus, what say you? What do you will of me? What do you want? And we must go to His scriptures for that every day. And we must submit ourselves to Him in prayer every day, that we are listening to Him, not just alone, but in community together. Through the Word of God, in prayer, in community. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanksgiving for sending Jesus to die on the cross in our place. Oh Lord God, open our eyes and our ears that we would see and hear Jesus Christ, our Savior. That we would believe, oh God, believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths, follow and obey you with our will, oh Lord God. That you would truly be the Lord of all of our lives, Lord Jesus. And empower us by your Spirit to go out from here and to bear witness to Jesus. Come, O Lord, come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.